Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. We are live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. That is George Pickens, iBlackGate, what he put on there. Hates dealing with the media, thinks we're out to get him. And so you're not going to get any kind of answers that make you feel better about his temperament, his attitude, his drive to be a great player. There's not going to be any kind of admission of blame there. No contrition whatsoever. That's just not the way he's going to come across in these situations. I think he would be better off with fans and maybe even some of his teammates if he did that, but he's created this adversarial relationship. Did you see the quote from Deshaun Elliott that makes some Steelers fans think that Deshaun Elliott is advocating for a George Pickens for Davante Adams swap?
I might have missed this one, actually.
Donnie, have you seen this?
I have not.
Deshaun Elliott here. I'm going to pull up the tweet right now. At Steelers Space tweeted this.
As opposed to outer space.
Deshaun Elliott wants Davante Adams in the Berg. And then the quote. If we need to sell my G-Wagon, we can sell it. I'd love to have him.
What car manufacturer makes the G-Wagon, Donnie?
I don't know.
Pony?
I think BMW.
Wrong.
Mercedes-Benz? Yeah. I knew it was a big one. Yeah. People thinking G-Wagon stands for George.
No, it's a literal type of car. You think he's just... You think Deshaun's talking in code there?
I'm just saying. You know, it starts with the same letter. That's what fans think, that this is his way of very
subtly putting George out there on the trade block in Deshaun Elliott's mind.
And for Davante Adams in a swap.
I've heard Deshaun Elliott talk a bunch this year.
Yep.
He sounds like a very sharp guy. Like,
well,
a guy
wouldn't
who
it be sharp
do
to
this,
say it?
Like a guy who could do this for a living. Like, he's very smooth talker.
Would do a good show on the station, I think. But is it possible that this is his way of
subtly firing a shot in Pickens' direction, like, yeah, get this guy the hell out of here? Possibly. I wouldn't – if it were another guy, I think he might just be saying G-Wagon because that's a rich person's car.
Yep.
And a lot of players probably have them.
My friend Nick Wright drives a baby blue G-Wagon. Congratulations on all his success.
Nick is rich, I would say. Like, close to athlete
when
rich.
Are we going to get our day in the sun, Malsy?
I think you've already –
when are we going to get to that level of fame and stardom?
You do a podcast with Patrick Peterson, a future Hall of Famer. You're going out to Circa in Las Vegas later tonight. You're flying out. They're paying for you to be there. People are going to come and see you. So I think the answer is very soon for you. Absolutely when hell freezes over for me.
God.
But I'm really – I'll start today by saying this. I am – a couple things. Like, you had an epiphany – earlier this
Bless
week.
You, Charlie. That was one of the loudest sneezes I think I've ever heard here. That
you've never worked with Starkey.
Absolutely made it on air.
Never worked with Starkey where it would be. Anyway, you had an epiphany earlier this week. I had an epiphany of a different kind today. Not that I expect anything different, but when guys like Pickens finally meet with the media, I do think there's a small percentage of our audience, of Steelers fans, who are hoping for like some cathartic remarks where he cuts the profile of the penitent sinner here. Like a kid who gets called out on the carpet and goes, you know what, Teach? I was wrong. It was wrong. Like, you know, something out of a movie, right? Where the bully or the bad guy.
How about a heartfelt apology? How about
anything?
I'm sorry.
In like a coming of age movie where somebody that you're not rooting for because of their behavior, like, finally sees the error of their ways and says, you know what? I've been doing this all wrong.
Yep.
But it just struck me today when I started to see the quotes trickle out and like the videos that were being posted from like literally every angle around him. One of those questions Brooke asked didn't get a verbal answer. He just looked at her and nodded. And
he
like
mean-mugged her.
Shook his head no, though, but made it very obvious like the answer is no. And I just thought to myself, why would anybody expect any different here? Why does anybody really expect that Mike Tomlin, anytime on a Tuesday after they lose, is ever really going to give up anything that you want to hear him say? They're not. He's not. Pickens isn't. They're not giving anyone their pound of flesh. And in Pickens' case, in Tomlin's case, I can at least say this. I think Mike desperately and badly wants to win, and I think he has a flawed methodology in the modern NFL, but I know Mike Tomlin is a competitive dude who hates the thought of losing. George Pickens says he's competitive. Guys around him say, oh yeah, he really wants to win when they're trying to close ranks. I really am starting to wonder and have grave levels of concern, regardless of what Michael Brewerly, the possible Pickens burner account, was tweeting people yesterday. It just doesn't seem like this is a guy who's attitude matches the vibe he wants people to think he's putting off. You know, whenever people say things about him, or he'll occasionally say something like, oh yeah, I'm working hard. I know he said he's working hard today. I think that was another one of his comments. I talk is cheap at this point for this guy.
Dulac in his chat said, trade him if the nonsense continues. Is that where you're at on George Pickens?
Put it this way. I'll answer that question thusly. Probably beginning of this year and for the entirety of his tenure leading up to through the beginning of this year, I'd have said, that's crazy. He's your best offensive talent. Like, you have to find a way to make it work. Man, don't you ever just get sick of something enough where you say, screw it, I just don't care. Like, if they were to trade him, and even if I thought the return was underwhelming, I'd be like, fine, let's just move on from this. It's getting annoying. Antonio Brown's the guy he gets comped to by far the most. Antonio Brown was 50 times the player George Pickens is. I mean, he was an all-time great. What's George Pickens? I've often said, and a lot of people actually agree with this, Ryan Clark, he might be the most physically gifted guy in the league. On how many teams would he actually be wide receiver one? It's not nearly as many as he thinks. He wouldn't be wide receiver one ahead of a Jamar Chase, a Justin Jefferson, a Tyreek Hill.
Sure.
Probably not a Devontae Adams. In fact, definitely not. You know, you could go on and on and on and list the teams where he just wouldn't crack the very top of the depth chart. But here, he's been enabled like he's Jerry Rice in his prime production-wise.
He's also had us make excuses for him because of the offense he's played in and the quarterbacks he's been around. And I'm not saying that that hasn't negatively affected his career. I think it has. I think there are probably situations where if he had been drafted there, he would have been put in a position to flourish and have a very successful career. But the way he's responded to that adversity is piss poor. It's embarrassing, actually, that we have to keep having these conversations about him. You know, the reason why I really don't want to trade him, this is might surprise you, I don't want to let Tomlin off the hook. Mike, this is your bed, man. Sleep in it. You figure it out.
If you trade him, he's not being let off the hook. It becomes an abject failure. You had to trade him for, it might not be for Devontae Adams, it might just be trade him for a second or third
well,
or a
right,
pick
but
if somebody
does,
wants
that
to take
the risk.
That does
nothing for them this year.
No, I know. That. I don't think trading him would let Mike off the hook. I think it would be seen as a complete failure of Mike to actually get the most out of the player in the long term.
But the whole point of me giving him the money that he's making is for him to manage personalities and players and do a good job at it.
Yep.
And I'm going to just take that problem off his hands? If I don't think he can, if I'm Omar Khan, or if I'm, more, not Omar Khan, if I'm Art Rooney, I'm looking at this logically and not just blindly believing in Mike Tomlin, what's the point in me treating him like an elite coach if I have to take these issues off his hand and not trust him to remedy the situation?
I think he I think he looks at Mike as an elite coach and as somebody we're firing him as a non-starter, because I think Art likes having the perception around this team, because so much of the national media will repeat it ad infinitum, that they're just the steady Eddie franchise that doesn't fire coaches. It's been one of the biggest problems going for them. I think Art borderline fetishizes this idea, hey, look, we're the Steelers. What's our identity? We're steady at the coaching position. And look at what it's yielded. No losing seasons in 17 years. Wow.
No, I don't think that it's an ultimatum situation where if you don't get more out of George Pickens, you're going to get fired. I'm not naive enough to think that one player, one bad egg, is going to undo all of the equity that Tomlin has built up with his owner, who treats him like he walks on water. I'm not saying or articulating that. I am just saying the owner himself has said, what is it about Mike Tomlin that you like as a coach? And he has said repeatedly, it's that guys play hard for him. That's one of his go-to lines on this. So you drafted a guy knowing that he was maybe questionable in that area because you think your coach is better at getting that out of the player than
any other
guy in the league. Right.
And he's not.
Yes. So I'm not, like, I would be so upset if I were Art Rooney and Mike Tomlin and or Omar Khan came to me and said, look, this has just become untenable. We got to get rid of this guy essentially for pennies on the dollar. Because it would turn into a pirate situation for me where it's like, gee damn it, if I watch this guy go somewhere else and keep his head screwed on straight and put up numbers, I'm going to blow my top.
Well, to ensure that that doesn't happen, you'd have to find a team without a very good quarterback willing to trade for him. Because I'll tell you right now, if he goes somewhere where there's a really good quarterback and established hierarchy, I think he would put up huge numbers.
He'd keep his mouth shut?
Yeah, because he'd be putting up huge numbers. When the guy put up numbers at the end of last year, you didn't hear so much as a peep from him. In fact, he actually looked like an engaged teammate. That is the second half of this, but like, I'm not inclined to give George Pickens an out because they run a rudimentary offense.
I mean, he still had the horrible fumble in Buffalo where it was another one of those situations where like a guy that is a number one wide receiver
would not make that play.
Can't have
dumb
plays
like
that.
I'm just not inclined to give him any outs about how they run their offense because he still received the most targets. Whether Arthur Smith knows how to get him the ball, because when he did get it in Indy, he fumbled inside the five and fundamentally changed that game. The chief mainline difference between George Pickens and Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown was an established great player who delivered the goods on the field, and George Pickens hasn't done it regularly enough.
Donnie, is that where you're at? Dulac says he'd trade him if this nonsense continues. Are you getting close to that?
I mean, I think if it gets completely overborne, yeah. I mean, I don't think we are to a point yet where it is, you know, FUBAR, like there's like a point to no return here. With him, I mean, again, we saw these episodes from him last season, and luckily he responded well. That's unfortunately, like, they may have to buck their trend a little bit of the conservative approach, because if they don't want to lose this guy, they simply, like, that's the only way to keep him engaged. That's the only way we know that. You let George Pickens get his, and listen, you might be forcing things, but if they want to keep him around, that's the only way they can solve that problem.
I mean, isn't that the other part of the problem here, though? Is that even when this guy is completely locked in and he's giving it his all, it's hard to create a situation where he always gets his, because if defenses are smart, if he's not taking himself out of the game, they can do that.
Correct, which is why AB was always much more preferable, because he just wouldn't allow himself to be taken out of the game. George Pickens cares about his stats, but does not care so much that he will go hard no matter what because he thinks he's always going to get the ball. Antonio Brown always went, and it was because he had Roethlisberger too, and frankly Haley for most of that time, who knew how to get him the ball as well, for all people wanted to rip Todd Haley. There's none of that right now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
By Subaru, it's back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. Starts at 9:30, goes through 4. We'll be there. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in contests like a costume contest, and get photos with Santa. Stop by any Subaru dealer for complimentary tickets. For more info, go to 937thefan.com. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. George Pickens giving a very curt Q&A with reporters today. No contrition whatsoever, not at all sounding like he feels bad or sorry for the way he's played or what happened in the game against the Cowboys. 412-928-9370 is how you join the program. Let's start with Zach in New Kent. Hello, Zach.
Hey, big fan.
Yes, Zach, good to talk to you again. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Well, first, can I just say, I just drove past the car a flame on 28, so please drive safely.
Did you say a flame?
90 miles an hour. A flame, yes. It was on fire.
On the side of the road or driving?
No, on the side of the road. I mean, it is a huge pileup. It is a huge backup. But, you know, it's just... Secondly...
Scary.
You know, they were talking about his father. He's on Twitter X, you know, making a ruckus. He's got to be embarrassed listening to his son talk like that on the radio. You know, I don't think he is.
I think the father thinks the son is being done wrong by the offense here.
I can't believe that he would act this way. He would talk this way. You know,
I'm
with you guys. You know, now that you say that, it's a good question. Why can't I? I'm with you guys. I'm ready to cut tail. See ya. It's an embarrassing look.
Man, think about how bare-ass naked it leaves the Steelers if you trade George Pickens at wide receiver. The third-round pick is in jail. Can't get on the field.
Not literally.
Steelers jail. Yep, he's in Steelers jail. Thank you for football jail. Van Jefferson stinks. Calvin Austin makes one play a year in week 3 that gets people excited. Mike Tomlin is having to describe Pat Freiermuth as a wide receiver now just to make it seem like they're not as thin or as weak at a position as they really are. And we're going to trade George Pickens on top of that because the migraine headache that he's giving everybody is just enough for us to say, who the hell cares anymore? Let's have an even worse wide receiver room? That can't be the solution. I'm sorry. It can't be.
Well, do you think it will be? Do you think he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler after the trade deadline?
He better be. I'm going to say yes. He better be.
I mean, right now it represents, if you can't make it work with him, a failing on two fronts. A failing by your head coach. It's actually two by Mike Tomlin. A failing by your head coach to...
One.
No.
I'm keeping track.
Yes. A failing by your head coach to get through to a player when that's his specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And connected to failure number one is a failure to run an offense that better showcases basically your passing game. And also, I guess three failures, because guess what? They still don't have a quarterback he trusts enough to implement the offense that would put the ball in the air more and put it at risk more, but also give you more potential for big plays.
Paul is in Natrona Heights. Hello, Paul.
Hi, guys. Quickly, give me a minute. I blame the owner for this because, as you said, Pony, he thinks that Tomlin could walk on water. He is the worst coach that in the last 7-8 years. This guy cannot draft. He drafted Kenny Pickett. Now, where is he at? They traded Deontay Johnson. Where is he at? Because he was a cancer. George Pickens is a cancer. I'm not comfortable with the quarterback situation any more than I was last year. You're admitting mistakes on people, and Mike Tomlin has to face the music for this. And again, you reap what you sow, and I say that with politics too. When people complain, but the same thing here. You reap what you sow, and it's Art Rooney's fault for this because we could go out and get better people that...
All right, Paul, thank you. We gave you exactly 60 seconds there. Here is Tim next. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yep.
Hey, my opinion is Antonio Brown is head and shoulders above Pickens.
If we're actually measuring guys, one is George Marisan and the other is Muggsy Bogues. I mean, that's the difference between the two. There ain't much.
Well,
they play the same position. That's about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't even think George – I mean, he's a good player. He's not a great player, but what has he done? I mean,
he led the NFL last year in yards per catch, so we know he's a big play guy. But he isn't consistent. And the thing that prevents me from saying he would thrive and turn into a star on another team – is that when he is afforded opportunity, even though they're not enough, he bungles some of them in spectacular fashion, dropping touchdown passes. Remember the play Mulsey where, like, last year, it looked
didn't
like...
Didn't get his foot in when in NFL receiver terms, especially with the control for his feet that he has shown in the past.
I mean, your buddy from Navy would have gotten, like, would have pitter-pattered his feet 10 times.
Any receiver worth his salt in the NFL... A wide receiver one, a wide receiver four would have gotten their feet down in that situation, and he did not. It was against Tennessee, yeah. It's just, he's not consistent. He seems to think that, he does know that he's the best receiver on the team, and that has to inform some of the way he acts. He definitely despises the media, doesn't want to give us anything, fine, whatever. No one would care. Like, what he doesn't seem to realize is if he went out against the Raiders, there were zero snaps taken off. He's blocking hard. He's running his routes hard. How many ever snaps he's out there for, he looks like the best player on the field offensively. And even if he had 5 catches for 65 yards, if you didn't hear a peep from him and the Steelers won, no one would say anything.
Saturday at 3:30, Pitt plays its first game of the season as a ranked team. They've moved into the polls, ranked 22nd. Pat 40. Mulsey, are you familiar with Pat 40?
I'm a little embarrassed that you're asking me that. Of course I'm familiar with Pat 40.
He has Pitt right now in the college football playoff as we sit here. Going into week for Pitt, this will be week 6. For other teams, week 7. They've had a bye week already, but what a start to the campaign. 1-0 in the ACC. 5-0 overall for the first time since 1991. Another trivia question. Can you name the Pitt quarterback in 1991, Mulsey?
Alex Van Pelt.
Let's go! You're on the ball today. And joining us on the hotline right now is Pat Narduzzi, Pitt football coach. Pat, how about Chris? Is he just a wealth of knowledge or what?
Wealth of knowledge. I didn't know the answer. I thought it was Dan Marino, but what do I know? I'm just worried about today. But how you guys doing?
In 91, Pat, you thought it was Marino.
Know.
He already played
years.
In a Super Bowl by then.
Shoot, I have no idea.
Hey, Pat, I'll start you off with a question about your quarterback. Eli Holstein won the job, but that's in practices. You don't, you know, Mike Tomlin loves to say you got to get guys in stadium and see what they're made of when he's talking about preseason football. So, since from the time Eli Holstein won the job, what have you seen from him that you didn't know you were going to get? Like, what have you learned from him now seeing him play and win five games for you?
You know, Coach Tomlin's right. I mean, you got to get him in the stadium, and, you know, that's why we, you know, had two scrimmages over there trying to find out who plays when the lights come on in the stadium. But, you know, we've learned a lot, you know, I think, you know, from what Eli is. It was a, you know, really close race in camp with him and Nate Yarnell, who's a really good quarterback and an unbelievable young man. Not an easy decision, but as, you know, each week, you know, passes through the season, you kind of go, golly, I mean, just, this kid's so composed. He's a playmaker. You know, at the end of games, his fourth quarters have been outstanding. He finds a way to make the play to help us win football games. And that's what it comes down to at the quarterback position, you know, a guy that will your football team to win.
Pat, vocal leader, lead by example. What is he, personality-wise, Eli Holstein?
You know, that's another good question. You know, you don't see him as very talkative. So he's not a guy that's going to, you know, sit there and talk a lot. So he leads by example, but I think the players may see a different side, you know, than I see. You know, I think he leads off the field as well. I think he's a guy that, you know, brings those guys all closer together. I think he's got those receivers and those running backs kind of in his, you know, within his wings. And I think he does, he's got a, you know, a kind of a savvy way of just, you know, bringing those guys together, and he doesn't have to say a whole lot. And maybe it's just based on what he does, but I just see there's a really, good chemistry by the offense with what he's developed there.
Pat, he's also, in addition to obviously putting up the big numbers passing, he's also the second leading rusher and the leading rush touchdown guy on your team. How much, what kind of a juggling act is it for you and for Cade Bell to try to temper, hey, this guy's a weapon when he uses his legs versus he is a very important player for you guys, so you don't want to put him at any undue risk for injury? How are you working through that calculation in that situation?
Yeah, we've got to be smart. I mean, you know, the one thing is, you know, he's going to scramble and he scrambles. You can't help that. When you drop back to throw and use your arm, he's able to scramble. I think he's done a decent job of getting down and being smart. You don't see us have a lot of quarterback, you know, runs. Maybe here and there, like down on the goal line, if you feel like you need that extra number in the box and you use a quarterback. But you got to be careful. We don't want to get him hurt. And you saw what happened to Florida State at the end of the year. They got, you know, Travis, great player, and then he gets hurt against South Alabama or whoever that was, and all of a sudden, you know, kind of ruins. They still haven't recovered from that day. So I think, you know, you got to be careful. You know, obviously he's critical in what we do and how we do it, and we got to keep him healthy. We got to block for him. We got to check the quarterback in the pocket, and then, you know, he's got to be smart himself and making sure he gets down when he has to.
Pat, you know, fans are so excited that you guys are winning and that Eli has had this amazing start, but also fans oftentimes do find negative in great situations. And the one thing that they,
really?
they do, I know it's crazy. And the one thing they bring up with this is how do they keep him? How does Pat Narduzzi keep the Jackals away? Is Eli Holstein getting texted every week, hey, this is Joe Blow from the Big Ten or Steve Smith from the SEC, come down here, we got big bags of money for you. Is that a real thing that you have to deal with during this season?
Well, we don't have to deal with it during the season. Maybe he has to. I think he's pretty level-headed. He knows, you know, what's there in front of him. I think he knows Pitt's going to take care of him. I haven't had that conversation with him. Pitt has the ability to take care of him. You know, this new house settlement obviously will help, but, the quarterback's, you know, the most critical, you know, player on your football team, so we're obviously going to take care of him. But here's the other thing people forget. The grass is not always greener, okay? You guys follow NFL football more than I do, but, you know, some of these quarterbacks, you know, in one program, let's cut them, you know, they go somewhere else, and, you know, and all of a sudden they're stars, okay? Eli's found a great niche here. I think it comes down to, are you happy or not? Okay. And, you know, I always relate everything to happiness, you know, and again, a couple weeks ago, did an interview and talking about just happiness as a coach. And I turned down a lot of money, turned down a lot of head coaching jobs. Okay. To stay at Michigan State as a defensive coordinator because I was happy, not because of money. I mean, I turned down millions to stay as a defensive coordinator. And people might look at you and go, what are you doing? because the time will come, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, you know, I think Eli and his family are smart enough to know, listen, you know, him and Cade Bell work really good together, okay? He likes how he calls the game, and those are all great things. I mean, he can win a Heisman champion, a Heisman trophy from here. He can win a national championship from here, all those things. But you know what? You can think that it's all about you and it's all you, and you can go somewhere else and all of a sudden go from being really good to not being very productive. So I think, you know, when you have a good thing going, I think, you know, people are smart enough to figure that out. If you're happy, now, if him and Coach Bell aren't getting along and Eli's a great quarterback, but like, you know, they don't get along with, then you really, you know, the fans should worry. But I hope, you know, the city of Pittsburgh is a great place to play. It's a great place to live. It's an unbelievable place to get an education. And again, on top of all of that, if you have a good culture and your team gets along and you like who you're playing with, that's probably the most important thing in the world. I mean, we could be 500 right now, but if you're happy with where you are, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Pat, I assume that I can ask the same question Andrew did about Eli, about Coach Bell, because those same jackals and vultures might be calling on him too. So do you feel the same way right now about keeping that partnership together with those two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, those two together, Kay's got a good thing coming here too. You know what I'm saying? He's got Eli, and, you know, I don't think, you know, you'd be crazy to pass that up. But the great thing about Coach Bell is he's got a contract, and Eli really doesn't have a contract. You have a transfer portal that's wide open. People sometimes try to compare, you know, coach with a player and say, you know, if coaches can do it, players can. But, you know, there'll be a, you know, hefty buyout and all those things. So, hey, I'm going to try to enjoy the moment. We're going to try to win one game each week and be 1-0. And, you know, I think it's a good problem. You know, last year nobody was, you know, worried about, you know, how do we pay a quarterback or how do we pay a coordinator. It's a good problem to have is when you got great players and they're being successful. And you got great coaches that are being successful as well. So I think to me that goes hand in hand. And it's a great problem to have here in the city of Pittsburgh.
Hey, Pat, I want to let you do something.
And time out. And if you happen to join the Alliance 412, our collective run by Chris Bickle, I'll do a little commercial for it. Like, you know, get a hold, go on Twitter, go on Instagram, go to, you know, Alliance 412. Help your Panthers continue to be great and pack the act on Saturday.
Also, maybe setting up a radio show with star quarterback and afternoon drive hosts in Pittsburgh might also help.
Why don't we get that done? What do we got to do?
Huh? I think we could have our people talk to your people and make that happen. Hey, Pat, I wanted to give you a chance, though, before we let you go, to do something that I know coaches love to do, especially when things are going really well, like 5-0 for the first time since 1991. Well, what is one thing you want to see your team do better the rest of the way? Ooh. That you want to improve? Because I know that's a classic. That's coaching 101 right there, is always try to find something that we got to work on even when things are going well.
Well, you know what, I could grab every starter on our offense, our defense, and the guys run down on kickoff and kickoff return, and I could give you details about each one. Hey, what do you have to do better? What do you have to do better? So individually, each guy, you know, has a goal sheet that they fill out every week. And I hope they know, you know, from the coaching and the details that their coaches give in their individual meetings, the head coach knows what every guy is going to improve on. But the one thing, you know, and I say it all the time, is you know, as a football team, just continue to get better, okay? There's situational football. You know, there's situational football at the end of that game that we just got to be smart with the ball, protect our quarterback. You know, I hope they learn from that. But, like, you know, it's one thing. It's like execution. It comes down to execution. I want to see our execution offensively, defensively, and special teams be better each week. And again, that goes with, you know, great coaching in our meeting rooms. It goes with, you know, every play that we run in practice or in a game, like learning from those situations and becoming better as a football team and as a unit when we walk on the field that next week.
First time since we loved it. First time since 1966, Pitt and Cale, a big ACC rivalry matchup, 3:30 Saturday on the Fan. We'll have pregame at 12:30. Pat, we love talking to you. One of our listeners says, what's Pat snacking on? It sounds like he's got a little snack there with him. Is that accurate?
I had a little Snickers. I apologize. I didn't think you guys could hear
that. No, that's good.
You know, I just had lunch at 2 o'clock.
Do you throw them in the freezer when you eat them, Pat? Are you a frozen Snickers guy where you'll toss it in the fridge or the freezer and chill it out a little? I know people who do that with Snickers bars.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, cold is better than warm and melty. But room temperature is good, too. So either one. I want to make sure I keep my teeth. I'm getting old. My teeth may be cracked out.
Hey, Pat, along those lines, the Narduzzi household, they giving out full-size candy bars on Halloween, or you do the little fun-size ones?
You know, we have full-size, but, like, we live back in the woods. My driveway is about a half mile. You're not a very intelligent trick-or-treater if you're coming by my house or trick-or-treat. By the time you come down here, you better get a big bar, okay? It's a long walk down the driveway to get there, and you're not hitting as many houses. The key to great strategic trick-or-treating is get to as many houses as you can. You want short walks. Yeah. You don't want this half-mile walk in between, you know, houses. You want to get your pillowcase, and you want to make sure, and you know what, we used to run house to house, you know, because, you know, we're just trying to get to as many houses as we could.
Pat? It's just like this. It's like the Pitt offense. Hit them fast and run a lot of plays. It's perfect.
That's right. Hit the gas. Hit the gas, as Coach Bell says. Hit it.
Hey, Pat, good luck on Saturday, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Hail to Pitt.
There you go. How about what he said about Holstein? He can win a Heisman Trophy and a national championship here at Pitt.
I mean,
it happened in the 70s, but that's a long time ago.
Kenny Pickett, he looks like he's he looks like he's playing even better than Pickett did when he finished third in the Heisman.
I think he's a better NFL prospect.
Well, he's a bigger guy, and I think he's got the attributes physically just look better. Tell you this. If Eli Holstein, through the next seven games, if they are somehow undefeated, they pull a stunner on Clemson, they just handle their business, and the guy has got like 35 touchdowns and 5 picks, he'll be in New York. For an undefeated Pitt team? Are you kidding me? Do you disagree? I mean, I know Travis Hunter, Genty from Boise State is insane, and Cam Ward. But if Pitt were undefeated and this guy had ridiculous counting numbers, he would absolutely be getting Heisman consideration now. They'd have to go undefeated. That's the key.
Yep.
But he would absolutely be getting talked about that way.
I think this is a sneaky, hard game.
I got a stat for you.
I know that Cale Heartbreak Hotel against Miami, and we'll see where they are having to come all the way over here from Northern California. But the thing about Pitt that I always wonder about is how do they handle prosperity? The Pickett year, they lost the Western Michigan.
Well, that's why I asked him.
They beat Clemson. I was there with Craig Riley. He had his little Kenny Heisman shirt on. They lose the next week to Tyler Van Dyke in Miami. So this, to me, you're on the map now. You're ranked.
Stay on the map.
People are talking about your quarterback as an NFL prospect, a great find in the portal, and the playoff. You got to keep at it. And also, you get to 6 wins. I cashed my ticket. I had them over 5.5.
I have a Pat stat for you. You like that rhyme? Since he has been at Pitt, he is undefeated straight up and undefeated against the spread when he is a 4-point home favorite or less. He has covered and won every single game.
Thank you, sir.
Or might be 7-0-2. Might be 7-0-2 against the spread. But he is 9-0. He does not lose home games when he is a narrow favorite at Pitt.
We're going to get to what's going on with Russell Wilson at Steelers practice. Quick thought on what the hell happened with the Penguins last night. You made a very generous bet with me to make a $1,000 donation to the charity of my choice.
What charities do you support?
If the Penguins miss the playoffs, several.
Okay. I'm trying to get my ducks in a row here.
Yeah, you should probably start to make out the check now. 6-0 last night? Okay, I get it. People say it's only one game. It's
a continuation of exactly what they were last year, which was slow and bad.
Fears realized. The goalie still stinks, and I think it's psychological. I don't think he's in the right place. I think now he has a negative relationship with not just the fans, but I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think he expects bad things to happen to him now, and the power play still sucks. And their bottom six blows, these pirate-esque moves where they rented these guys, none of them are any good.
Makes you wonder if they're just rebuilding.
No, they're in purgatory. They're in limbo. You can't, quote-unquote, rebuild with Sid and Malkin and Carlson and Letang and Mike Sullivan as your coach. But you also can't compete for Stanley Cups
either. With Nolichari playing minutes.
Right. I mean, you're just not.
And Kevin Hayes.
They're gonna lose more games than they win this year when you add in the overtime losses and shootout losses.
As long as that somehow gets them to about 94 points in the eighth seed, I don't care if they lose a seven-game series in three.
Yeah, that place was a morgue by about halfway through the second period because people were like, here we go again.
Here's the real problem.
More games of this crap.
Here's the real problem. The game was over at 2-0 and probably at 1-0, given who they were playing. The Rangers took their best punch for about 6 minutes, and then once it got to 1-0, you felt terrible about it. Once it got to 2-0, it was done.
I mean, you come out, you beat them late in the season last year in New York when you were trying to get back into the playoffs and you had a little mojo going. Plant the seed with the Rangers in on night one. Hey,
it's the healthiest you're going to be all season. Like the most even terms you'll be able to play them.
I know Rust isn't in our division. There, but. We're no slouch this year. We're not an easy win.
Everyone's laughing at us, but our venerable stars are still out there. Carlson's going to do his thing this year in
that
the playoffs.
Sucked.
It was the kind of game where honestly you can do this with hockey, especially like in those mid-season doldrum games where you have it on, but you're not like watching closely for several minutes because it's whatever. It's game 38. I felt like that about it. Maybe 7 minutes to go in the first period.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.